Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Good afternoon. This is Kenny Hendricks from Change Matters Solutions. Wherever you are within the sound of my voice, welcome. Thanks for joining the show. Again, this is Kenny Hendricks, and this is Change Matters Solutions.
And I am Colette Williams, and this is Change Matters, and thank you for joining us. Today is Tuesday, July 25th, and we are coming to you live from Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. And we're glad that you have joined us. Remember to call in with your comments, your solutions, your questions, and anything you may have on your mind. We're glad to have you join us. And today we've got a couple of people on the line with us. We have a contributor and we have a guest caller. So today's going to be a lively show. Thank you again for joining us. This is going to be lively. Hopefully we're going to get to some solutions. Hopefully you will join us and be a part of Change Matters Solutions. So as we get started, I'd like to introduce to all of you who are listening, AJ Ali, who is from Los Angeles, California. He's a filmmaker, a wellness coach, an entrepreneur. And AJ, tell us about yourself as we get started.
Well, thank you for having me on your show. It's an honor to be here. I'm a filmmaker and writer, and I live in Santa Monica and produce and host a wellness-oriented TV game show out here in Santa Monica. It's called Wellness 101, and in addition to that, I am producing and directing the Walking While Black Love is the Answer documentary film, offering a solution to racial profiling, and I'm very pleased to have Academy Award winner Errol Weber working with me as the director of photography. And we're excited about the project because we really do believe that it's going to make a huge difference for our country.
Well, thank you again for joining us. And as we also get started, let's also introduce Renee Cole, who is our contributor for the afternoon. Renee, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, thank you for having me, and it is also an honor and a privilege for me to be on the station with you. I am a writer, and I come from a long line of writers, and I am penning a book right now as we speak that's dealing with post-traumatic post-slavery syndrome, and that's a very short description for a very long problem and issue. So I am going to be contributing all types of facts and figures and anything that I feel or that you feel may be necessary to substantiate the things that we're talking about in terms of what Black Americans are going through.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Ken, let's get started with our topics. We had two things recently. One was the shooting of three police officers in Baton Rouge, and the other was the discovery for me, the video of the girl in Austin
mm-hmm.
Texas,
mm-hmm.
who was stopped by a police officer, and he asked for her license and told her that she was speeding, and it became an altercation like all that we've seen. This time, it ended with her being in the patrol car, handcuffed, But prior to her getting to the patrol car, he beat her, in my estimation, unmercifully. It's purely, purely by the grace of God that her bones were not broken. Her skull was not shattered. This man is a huge, huge guy who happens to be white. He picked her up and threw her around like she was simply a bag of Legos. And I was shocked. I was absolutely shocked. I was floored. It not only brought tears to my eyes, but I became angered just watching it. And
this happened, I'm sorry, this happened last year. But the video was just released. It just became public a short while ago, and it's been basically going viral. And it's causing a lot of concern. I did also want to mention that this, before you started, this past weekend on Sunday, we had the first Black Talk Radio Network town hall meeting, and it was an astounding success, resounding success. I think we had 9 hosts on there and a couple of callers, and it went really well. And I want to thank Scotty Reed for producing that and moderating that, and he moderates the entire Black Talk Radio Network. But again, I just wanted to throw that out there. But yes, that was another case of police brutality, which was the subject we talked about over the weekend. And AJ, that is something that you're doing your movie on, as you said. And we'd like to hear from you. What are your thoughts on where we are with regard to that subject? How do we get past it? What's your message to the people out there?
Well, you know, this is not a new subject.
No,
black
it really
people in America. Yeah, we've been experiencing this for 397 years. So it may be new to some folks in this country because of videos and I'm just talking about folks in general who may not have had to deal with it in the past, but now it's on CNN, it's on social media, it's on the other news channels, and people are almost being forced to discuss it now, which I think is a very good thing for America, because for far too long people have had the luxury of being able to avoid this discussion, while others in the community have had to face this kind of issue every day and have not had a voice. So I believe that we're at a crossroads as a country, and it's really up to all of us now to keep this discussion going, but look at it from a standpoint of how can we come up with solutions, because quite frankly, vigils and marches and prayer groups and discussions are only going to take it so far. I'm a Christian by faith, and I know that according to my faith I'm supposed to pray, but there's also a time for action, and I'm called to action. And so it's the reason why I'm doing this film is because I've really got tired of having the discussion about racial profiling with other people who had been through the same thing, and we would talk about it and talk about how horrible it is, and then we'd leave it at that.
Right.
And at times we would laugh about it, because if we didn't, we'd probably cry about it. Mm-hmm. And so my thing is, everyone has the ability to do something. And if I'm a writer, I need to write about it, which I do. If I'm a filmmaker, I need to create a film about it, which I'm doing, and I've got a great team of people around me who bring different skills to the table, and they're all contributing. And I believe that the time has passed for people to just talk about it and let it go. It really is a time of action, and there's so many positive things that we can do. We don't need to go down the path of creating more violence. That solves nothing.
Nothing.
I think we all learned a lot from the life of Martin Luther King Jr. And my grandfather was there when he gave his I Have a Dream speech. And he was there to say that he was going to do everything he could to make the world a better place for his family. And 50-some years later, I'm proud to pick up the torch and run with it. And right. But I am determined that in my lifetime, before I leave this earth, we're going to see this problem solved.
Yeah, I think some of us feel the same way. And those of us who remember yesterday, the 60s and the 70s, those of us who remember the plight of the brothers, the sisters, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Eldridge Cleaver, God, just on and on.
Huey Newton. Medgar Evers.
The list goes on. Medgar Evers. The list goes on. And we know where they are today, but where are they today? Because we thought for a very long time that we had made it. And I had an argument at a reception with a guy that knew my mother well. And he told me emphatically that we had made it. We made it. And we should be happy where we are, because never before had we ever been able to live in certain communities, buy a home, buy a car, have a job. And now we can do those things, and we should be happy right where we are. And he was so very, very emphatic. He told me to think any other way. I was crazy. And I'll never forget that argument. And his sister used to be the superintendent for Inglewood School District. But things have not gotten any better. We've had the illusion that things have gotten better. We've come up. And when we see the things that are taking place in our communities, then we have to stop and really take a look at ourselves and introspect and think, have we really gone as far as we should have gone, or as we thought? And if we can answer truthfully, no, we haven't. And before we go any further, we'd like our guests to know that there is a call-in number, and that number is 641-715-3660, and the code is 549-032-pound. Again, that's 641-715-3660, 549-032-pound. You can call in with your questions or your comments and join this conversation. We'd love for you to do that. Go ahead, Renee Cole. Go ahead.
What I was going to say is, I think when it comes to values, that's what determines whether a person feels as though, you know, black folk in this country have gotten anywhere. We had far more as a nation, as black folks, when we had our own cities, when we had our own communities, we had our own businesses, we had banks, we had hotels, so on and so forth. Well, all those, as we know, got burned down, the people got killed, and what happened is then all of a sudden now we were able to shop in the white folk stores, in the department stores, we could go downtown. So black people unfortunately saw that as progress, and it wasn't.
Right.
So when you look at if you look at the values, what's important to you? If this is the society that you want to leave to your children, the most that we're going to be able to do in this country is spend our money. That's all we're going to be able to do, and the money's going to be limited.
Right.
So if that is the value that people carry, if that's the legacy that they want to leave their children, the ability to go live, you know, in certain communities and drive certain kinds of cars, that's it. You know, you can get a college education, but can you get a job? So it just depends on the values of a person, and that's what determines whether we, to a person, whether or not we've progressed. There was an interview done by one of the young black brothers on Fox Network, and it was the most incredible interview, and I'm going to let someone else talk now, but I'll get back to that, because I want to give the names and I want to give people the information where they can go see this interview that was given on Fox News by one of our young black brothers.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. Thank you for that, Renee. I want to get back to AJ Ali. Mr. Ali, your documentary is Walking While Black, Love is the Answer?
Yes.
Okay. Tell us a bit more about that. I had a conversation with you yesterday, and my brother and I have these conversations continuously. And we are really and truly working feverishly to come up with solutions. And I really believe that the solutions are not going to come from one or just some. The solutions are going to come from all of us, a community of people. I was mentioning to him that I watched, I guess it was about three town hall, one with Don Lemon, the other one with Megyn Kelly. I watched the president's town hall, and I've been watching them. Most of them have been on YouTube. But we sit and we talk and we have these dialogue. And once the dialogue is over, where are we going? I called into L.A. to one of the stations, and I asked what was going on in L.A. And as I said before, there's always something going on in L.A. And what was mentioned was the party in the park, the couple of other things, but none of those things sounded like a call to action. None of those things sounded like people are sitting down and they're serious about this. Today is the 25th of July. All of those things that we're talking about took place on July 6th and 7th. And then Baton Rouge was just a week ago. They haven't gone anywhere, but we've gone back to business as usual. We've gone back to doing what we do. And I am a party person, so don't get me wrong. I do love a great party. We just had one on July 2nd, so I'm a party girl. But I'm also about the business. I am also first and foremost about the business. And I'm a baby boomer. And I've seen so many things go on in recent years that are quite puzzling, that take me back to what happened to the way it was and what happened to where we were going. And if we don't get there, we are doomed. On Sunday, we had one of our hosts to talk about the study and the research that he's been involved in that tell us black folks will be extinct. Make no mistake. Make no mistake. And I have been saying this for at least two decades. And one of the persons that I mentioned that to said, no, that ain't going to happen. No, black folks are here to stay. You keep thinking that. You'll find yourself somewhere that you don't want to be. So what is your take on that? Where are we going, Mr. Ali? Why do we sit down? Why is it back to business as usual? The party's on. Let's do what we do until the next shooting or the next heated confrontation. What's going on? How do they say, what's up with that?
Well, Colette, I think there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of pain that hasn't been dealt with in our community. And part of the reason why it hasn't been dealt with is because there really hasn't been a true acknowledgement by our nation of the things that we have been through. Now, I don't have any control over whether that ever happens, but what I do have control over is my own heart. And you know, just to go to scripture for a second, you know, Matthew 22:38 says that you know, we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind. 22:37-38. That's the first and greatest commandment. And after that, we're called to love our neighbor as ourself. And I personally believe that hate is a powerful emotion, but it can't stand up to love. There is no way that hate can win over love. And I too love a great party. You know, we've got friends who we get together with on a regular basis to have a good time. One of them is listening in, Giovanni Villa. A little shout out to my boy And, you know, he's a guy who has been with me in the trenches. Sure, we love a good barbecue, but when time comes for us to get to work, we go to work.
Right.
And we're serious about what we do. And we realize that when the work has to get done, then we have to put in the time and the energy, no matter how long it takes to get it done. So is a party going to solve anything? Is a one-night vigil going to change anything? No. You know, my grandfather and many of our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, you know, they believed in delayed gratification, and they were willing to put in the time and roll up the sleeves and do without for months or years or decades if necessary. But in this day and age, we want to see something happen right away, and if it doesn't happen, we just go on about our business and pretend like the problem went away.
Immediate gratification.
And I'll wrap up. What we have to do is we have to learn how to love deeply in our community. And I've come up with a formula for love. It's an acronym. Love stands for learning and opening your heart and volunteering yourself and empowering others. And the film and the companion book and the companion workshops that we are developing explains how love can be put into action. We're tailoring it so that law enforcement agencies can use that formula as a tool, so that protesters and pastors and students and everyone else who's involved in this in one way or another can use that formula to create change that's going to be lasting. Because look, I know that there's only a small percentage of police officers who are doing bad things. I've seen numbers that range from 10% to 15% of cops will do the wrong thing every time you give them the opportunity, and 10% to 15% will do the right thing no matter what. And then you've got all the rest in the middle. The vast majority can be swayed one way or another depending on the circumstance. If we teach people how to love each other truly, using that model of learning about the community and its people, opening your heart to the humanity and the community and the needs, to volunteer yourself to be a part of the solution, and to empower others to do the same, then we can get through this. And it's not going to take a day or a week or a year.
No, right.
It'll take years, but it can happen.
Yes.
Just got a message from our producer saying that the Dallas Police Force has come forward to say that they have arrest quotas. Apparently a listener who's on the line, a thank you listener, whoever sent that email to Scotty, says that they have arrest quotas. So each month they have to go out and arrest a certain amount of people. And for whatever the reason, we are the easy target.
Right.
There's two reasons that they target black people. The first reason is because the origin of policing is slave catching. We have to understand historically first, then we'll understand how we got where we are, and then we can come up with a solution. So when we talk about policing and we talk about slave catching, that's what's happening today. And in terms of the instructing and the academies for police, even though they're black, just like the brother, I believe that was the Baltimore, where they broke his bones and then threw him in the back of the paddy
wagon.
Freddie Gray.
The cops have just been exonerated. Yeah.
Right. There were two black cops on that, if I'm not mistaken.
One was a female too.
Yeah, a female.
Yeah, there were six of them.
Right.
There were three blacks
but
and three
two were
white.
Okay, I thought it was two blacks.
Three were black and three were white.
Okay, black people do this to one another also in terms of police. I'm not talking about black-on-black crime because that's a diversion and people go into that, and white folks kill white folks just like black folks kill.
Exactly. That's a,
so
that's a
don't,
myth.
Don't confuse it when I talk about that. But I am talking about the indoctrination of the police academy on these cops. They learn what they learn, and what they learn is slave catching. The other thing is that what makes it so easy for them to target black people is that when they go into the black communities, there is no real recourse for the communities that they go into. It's just like with Samaria is the mother's name. What's the young brother who was 12 years old that they shot in the gazebo?
Tamir Rice.
Tamir Rice.
In Ohio? Tamir Rice.
I'm not good with names. I need to write them all down. Tamir Rice. Tamir Rice's mother, the cops were all exonerated. They said that they did nothing wrong, but they gave the mother and the sister in his estate $6 million.
Right.
So
right.
They don't mind paying you off. They just want to kill us. So that's what people need to understand. One of the reasons it doesn't
and
go
not away, only that, but not only that. Excuse me, I'm sorry for intruding. But not only is it okay for them to pay us off, because they know that that money is going to go to that family, and they're going to blow it. They're not going to do anything with that money that makes them think this could be an uh-oh. We are giving them money to fight. This is going to be blown. They're going to go buy, what is it, alcohol and jewelry and cars.
Well, wait, Yolanda, we don't know that about that family, Colette. We don't know that about
we don't
that
know
family.
That about the family, but we know that that's the way they think. That's the mentality of what they think.
Okay.
Go ahead with your thought.
I think that we have to be careful when we make statements.
Go ahead with your thought.
Like that. Okay. My thought is that So the black communities are a target, whereas they cannot go in the white communities and target like that because there's recourse in the white communities. And that is because, once again, it would be something different than slave catching. They kill white folks, but they have to answer for killing white folks. They don't have to answer. That's the difference.
And I hate to break you. We do have a caller, but caller, if you can just hold on for a minute, we're going to be going to a break in about 3 minutes. If you can just hold on till then, we'll get right to you. But go ahead, Renee. I'm sorry.
Okay, so I invite people to go to YouTube and look up Dr. Umar, U-M-A-R Johnson, and he has incredible information. One of the things that he talks about is that one of the main reasons that we're still going through what we're going through in this country is because the perpetrator has been allowed, we have allowed the perpetrator to continue to do whatever they do. So in other words, if a person is standing on your foot and they don't feel like getting off and you don't make them, well, then they're not going to get off. As a matter of fact, the next thing they'll probably do is step on your next foot and then knock you down. So as long as we do not take it, we have to take our freedom. We cannot go to the perpetrator, the slave master, and ask them for freedom anymore, because that's a sickness that doesn't work. So if we continue to do what we've always done, which is going to them and asking them to help
exactly.
us, it can't be their money, it can't be their businesses, it can't have anything to do with them. It has to be our own fight, and we have to be willing to... We have to be willing to die for it, just like the our brothers and sisters before us were willing to die so that we could get where we are today. We have to be willing to die in order to live a better life for our children in this country.
And what you're talking about makes perfect sense, which is why the Clive and Bundy clan in Nevada was able to point guns at the Bureau of Land Management federal officers and nothing happened, because
right.
they know those folks will fight back. You know, and we have young black boys standing around not doing anything, getting shot. And the other piece to that is when you said somebody, if they're standing on your feet and you don't do anything. See, people can only do to you what you allow them to do.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
And we have allowed this. And part of it is what you guys have mentioned earlier, is that we've been placated by the fact that we can do all these things we didn't have a chance to do.
And right.
If you remember when we were growing up, you know, our parents, Colette, and they tried to move to a certain area, and the realtor would not show them to the east side
That's
of town.
Right.
They moved us
That's
to
right.
the west side of town. But we are upon a break. It's, excuse me, the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a short break, and this is Black Talk Radio Network. This is Change Matters Solutions, and we have A.J. Ali and Renee Cole on as guests. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
listening to Change Matters Solutions on Black Talk Radio, hosted by Kenny Hendricks and Colette Williams.
Welcome back to Change Matters Solutions. This is Kenny Hendricks, and we have...
Go ahead.
And Colette Williams, and we have AJ Ali and Renee Cole on as our guest and contributor. We were talking about police brutality, and we're going to continue that conversation. AJ Ali is a filmmaker and writer, and his film is called Walking While Black, and Love's the Answer. Is that correct, AJ?
Walking While Black, Love is the Answer, and the website is walkingwhileblackthemovie.com.
Okay, and we have a caller, caller on area code 803. Are you there, caller?
Hi, I'm here.
Yeah, hi. What's your name and what's your comment or question?
Peace. This is Max Parthas, one of the hosts here on Black Talk Radio Network for New Abolitionist Radio.
Oh, thanks for calling in, Max.
I would like to say thank you for this conversation. I'm sorry that I recently missed the town hall meeting, but I've been running back and forth between cities with my daughter, who has bone cancer at the moment.
Oh, so I'm so sorry to hear that.
Oh, my God.
I was listening to the conversation, and I would like to make a note and ask a question, if that's possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
What I would like to make note of is that ever since 1865 and the Great Deception, when we were fooled into believing that slavery had been abolished when in fact it had not been abolished and simply transferred into convict leasing, every 50 years we wake up and we fight these same fights, but we don't really realize what it is we're fighting for. The narrative keeps getting changed. What we've been after is freedom. If you remember, immediately after the 13th Amendment, convict leasing began and became widespread as a replacement for slavery. And then later on in the early 1900s, we had the birth of the NAACP. Why? Because there were riots going on because of convict leasing, where entire 150 people, for instance, in Alabama had been killed in a cave-in who were working in the mines for free as convicts. Mm-hmm. Same thing happened again in 1965, we had the March on Washington in 63 about jobs. And here we are now in 2016, and we're in worse condition than we were when we went in for that march. So we wake up and we fight and take these concessions, and we think we've won, and we go right back to sleep. That's what I'd like to make note of. The other thing is, we often talk about new thinking, new ideas, and we need new leadership. But we refuse to accept the idea, or even consider it, most of us, for even a moment, that is it possible that slavery actually never ended? And what we're seeing right now is a repeat of the first mass incarceration period, which was the fugitive slave laws.
Modern-day slavery, that's right.
We see these huge global conglomerates of private prisons that have become so large that they are literally among the top three largest privately owned corporations in the world. Where one of these prison companies, G4S, is the largest employer in the entire continent of Africa. And yet we refuse to even look at these pieces of evidence as an indication of a slave trade where people are being bought and sold on the open market in the form of prison stocks and jail bonds. That is the new idea, the new thinking that we need to move towards, because when we start looking at this as a crime in process rather than a mistake over time, everything we do and think will change.
Right. Absolutely. And that is, I think it's so important that people tune in to radio stations like this, tune in to brothers like Jay Morrison, who is a very intelligent black activist, who was an educator, Jay Morrison, M-O-R-R-I-S-O-N, and he's the one who had the interview with Charles Payne on Fox News, and Charles Payne is another one of the unfortunate clowns that we have that are our puppets for the media today.
Renee, can you speak up a bit?
Oh, I said Jay Moore. Are you able to hear me better now?
Yeah, that's much better.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. I said Jay Morrison, who is a young brother who is an educator and he is a black activist. I said he had on July 19th, he was on Fox News with Charles Payne. And I was saying that Charles Payne is another one of the clowns who is a puppet for the media, for Fox News. And Charles Payne was trying to put words in his mouth and twist what he was saying, and he didn't allow it. He was extremely articulate. He was very concise and to the point, and he got a lot accomplished and a lot said in that little bit of time. And I invite people to Google that. Go to, and look at that Charles Payne and Jay Morrison interview on Fox News that, was, that, like I said, happened on July 19th. But one, I also want to go back to what AJ Ali said in terms of love. The when you talk about love, we have to love ourselves. And because of slavery, because of the breaking of the Africans, it was just like Tony Robbins talks about how to live and how to prosper and how to think for people to prosper. Well, there was how to break a slave. How to break an African and make a slave out of them. And probably most of the listeners know about this, the Willie Lynch letter. If you don't, you should Google it. Well, when you teach people to hate themselves intrinsically for 400 years almost, generation after generation after generation, then it is a psychosis that is within the people to hate themselves. So those who believe in the Bible and who will go to it should go to the Bible, not only to look to love your brother, but to love yourself, because when you go to Psalms, and Psalms talks about how I'm wonderfully made. You could go to Timothy, and Timothy talks about let no one despise you, and to how to conduct yourself in love and faith and purity. You can go to John, and it talks about the love that the Father has given to us, and we should be called children of God. That's who we are. We are children of God, but we have to realize that ourselves first. Ephesians talks about Amen. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it. We do not nourish our own flesh. We nourish the slave master. So right, when we have things that happen like Charleston, instead of getting angry, those people were sick when they turned around and they forgave him and forgave him and forgave. That is a sickness. The same day that man killed all those people, those families, and that church turned around and gave nothing but forgiveness. That's not love. That's psychosis.
And remember, we talk a lot about going to church, and I'm not going to say that going to church is a wrong thing or a bad thing or that it should not take place. Black folks, we know black folks flock to churches. The teaching, the learning, just as AJ Ali has stated, the learning has got to take place. We have got to take this indoctrination of self-hatred and change it. We've got to turn it around, and we've got to come in with loving each other, loving one another, and love yourself first, because if you cannot love yourself first, it's impossible to love anyone else. And when we listen to love thy neighbor, when we listen to all of the teachings of the Bible, there are tons of people who do not embrace that, who do not internalize that. And when they don't internalize that, then look at what we have. Their behavior outside tells us whether or not they embrace self-love. And we know that oftentimes they do not. They don't subscribe to self-love. They may tell you that they do. Their actions say that they don't.
I'd like to ask Max, if you had a final comment.
Yeah, I would just say again, maybe we should start considering this as a crime against humanity called slavery and human trafficking. And then look for the evidence that is clearly available to show it as such, and move our conversations towards that direction. I personally am just tired of chasing my tail, and I don't want my grandchildren to grow up in a world where, again, they have to go through the same thing.
Yep.
Right.
Well, we thank you for your call and comment, Max, and we'll be listening to your show as well.
And we will also, we will first and foremost be praying for your daughter. We will hold her, lift her in prayer.
Absolutely.
And she will be fine. The Father said so. She will be fine. Is he still there?
I think you dropped. Go ahead. Okay. You were saying, but go ahead, Colette, you were speaking.
Well, I just wanted to say that in order for us to relinquish this self-hatred. We've got to start over from the very beginning. We've got to go back. We're going to have to, I don't want to use that phrase, take steps backward, but we've got to relearn. We've got to pick up where we left off, because slavery has never been abolished. We have been fooled into thinking that it has been abolished, and it has not. And as I have said before on this show, when I fly into LA and I get picked up and I go through the streets, the mean streets of LA, I see a plantation. I see a plantation, and I want folks to know I see a plantation. I don't even know what a plantation looks like, but I know that that's a plantation. And I know that when I see folks walking as they do, in the fashion that they do, that is of slave mentality.
Well, a lot of people are still waiting on permission
to
leave the plantation. And a brother wrote a book, I can't recall his name, it's called It's Okay to Leave the Plantation, but unfortunately he was one of these far right-wing conservative brothers, and so don't want to give him much credit. But I'd like to put something out there. I've got a question in terms of solutions, and I want to start with AJ, and then we'll ask Renee to chime in on this as well, particularly since, AJ, your book is called Walking While Black, and we know there's driving while black, shopping while black, all those things. In terms of walking and particularly driving while black, what is the young thing, particularly young brothers under the age of, say, 40, between the ages of 16 and 40, what is the one thing that they can do to make sure that they survive these encounters? Because a lot of times that's really the end game, is to survive the encounter, because a lot of them are not surviving. So what would be the one thing you say that they can do to survive?
Well, respectfully, that's been said so many times, and what we're seeing now is it's happened throughout our history here in this country, but we're seeing it on videos now, where bad police officers will just come up to your car and ask you to retrieve your license, and when you do, they will shoot you.
Right.
So all the rules have been thrown out, and I've written about this subject. I gave advice to not just young people, but people like myself I'm 52 now, but the last time my life was threatened by a police officer was just a few years ago in Howard County, Maryland, when I was walking through a neighborhood, and I did everything right. But that didn't stop him from, after the first encounter, collecting two of his friends and having the three of them roll up on me 5 minutes after I left that first encounter. So, you know, I'm tired of telling people things like treat them with respect and keep your hands where you can see them, because those rules are out the window now. Bad cops don't care. They're turning off their cameras, and they're shooting people, and they're beating people, and they're not being prosecuted for it. So I'm really tired of having that discussion. We had that discussion when I was a child in my family living room, and I'm sure everyone else on this call did too, about what you do when you get stopped by the police. But we're so far past that. I do want to address something, though, that Max said, and I will be praying for his daughter. I can relate, because my wife is a breast cancer survivor, and she went through surgery where they cut out the cancer. She went through chemo where they cleaned house, basically. She went through radiation where they did targeted radiation therapy to make sure that if there were any residual cells left after the surgery and the chemo, that they would be killed. And then she went through a major change in lifestyle. And has had, you know, regular checks. And I just want to say that we need to treat bad policing just like we treat cancer. Okay? It's
cut it out.
It has to be cut out. If there are bad officers out there, they have to be fired and not rehired by another police department somewhere else in the country. Mm-hmm. There needs to be a cleaning of the house, so that their supervisors and command and all the way up to the mayor and the governor, if they're supporting this kind of activity, like those quotas, then they need to be cut out. We need to vote people out of office. We need to force people out of these
jobs, and we need to break the back of the police union, which is holding all this mm-hmm. all this together. It's the biggest gang in America.
Exactly.
We need to then treat it like with radiation and just shine a hot, bright, hot light on anyone who's hanging around trying to do bad stuff. And we need to go in and we need to train people, and not leave it to them, but we need to train people on how to do proper community policing, and we need to do regular checks to
right.
make sure that if something tries to come back, then we're not going to let it thrive in our community. So we need to treat bad policing just like we treat cancer.
Right. And you know what? That brings me to another thought, if you don't mind me saying. AJ, you all, I'm sure, remember the shooting at the courthouse in Atlanta where the officer who happened to be female was bringing the assailant to the courtroom. Well, when he got into the courtroom, he wrestled her, knocked her down, took her gun, shot the judge, shot her and a few other people, and then he fled the courthouse. And there was a long manhunt for this guy. Well, he ran into a trailer park. I believe it was a trailer park. And a woman allowed him to come into her trailer. He kidnapped her. Well, she began reading A Purpose-Driven Life. And after the two of them read A Purpose-Driven Life, and I'm sure you all know the story, he turned himself in. And, of course, she became the hero. He is probably fried to the bone now. But my point to all of that was when all of that took place, there was a representative and who went to a press conference, because press conferences were going all day long, and he said, this is what happens when you allow a police chief, a black police chief, to come into your city. And he hires all of his friends and family, and they don't know what they're doing. This is what happens. So that white man blamed the police chief for what took place, because he said that the police chief hired friends and family, and they had no experience in law enforcement. They had no experience in running a courthouse. They had no experience, and this is the kind of thing that happens. They allow people to come in, and they shoot them up. Nobody, and I hope I'm wrong, there was nothing ever said to dispute what that man said. We all took it. We stood there with our hands up and said, oh, well, nothing ever happened after that.
And see, that's just how it works.
That's exactly that, how yeah. it works. And it's
they
been
can
working
make,
that way.
They can make
they
every
can make
mistake.
Every mistake, every single mistake. And we said
we
back.
Had 8 years of George Bush,
right?
And they want to talk about Obama is the worst president ever,
right?
One stat that most people may not realize that was when George Bush left office, the Dow Jones was at 6,000. It is over 18,000 right now. I haven't checked in the past couple of days, but it's been over, and that's a record. Yeah. It's never been that high.
Exactly, but and it's never been that high, and it mm-hmm. keeps going up.
But I wanted to get. Go ahead, because I want to get input from Renee on that. Go ahead, Renee.
Okay. Along with what you all are saying, I just wanted to bring out the GQ magazine has an article for August 2016. I would encourage everybody to get a copy of that article and read it. It's about the Rice family, and it's talking about how the title to the article is The Boy They Buried Twice, and it's talking about how the police got away with it. It is an excellent article. It's a long article, and it's telling the truth about how the police got away with this in that area. And we have many, many, many instances of this. We have hundreds upon thousands of instances where these juries. And I don't mean it like a jury trial. I'm talking about the grand jury.
Grand jury.
They do not hold these people responsible, and
they have
their ways of this never, ever, ever going to trial.
But
so
going to the grand jury is a prosecutor's way. I don't want to say that it's the easy way out for the prosecutor.
Sure it is.
Because
sure
the prosecutor doesn't have to take the heat for bringing the charges. Yeah. go ahead. I'm sorry.
Exactly. So that's all I'm saying is that we have to begin to educate ourselves so that we understand these processes. And what if we understood the processes, like what you all are talking about, what Colette was saying about the judge and the police chief, if we had, so, you know, when we come together, and I'm going to say when, because this brother, Umar Johnson, he talks about stop believing in the worst and believe in the best, and that we're going to have to sell the black man to the black man. We're going to have to sell the Negro to himself, which mm-hmm. is what he was talking about. So we have to as we're having the dialogue, we have to move our dialogue into solutions and stick to the solutions. We do have to understand, and we have to have people in the community who step forward and say, I understand that process. I'm an attorney, or I understand that process. I'm a, you know, a judge, or whatever the case may be. We need people in the community to come forward, and we
right.
need to have, as I mentioned last week on this radio station, we need to have a place, a website initially, where we say, this is where you go to say that this is your name, this is, you know, the contribution that you can have, and this is how we will begin to form a group so that we can have contribution. One of the things I want to quote Marcus Garvey here. Marcus Garvey said, you Negroes are out of your mind if you think that this white man who killed and brutalized your ancestors, drug you over here and enslaved you for almost 3 centuries in his time. It was almost 3 centuries. He said, and just because you claim to be a human being, he's supposed to give you a part of what he stole from you.
Right.
He said, you're going to have to work your way out of this. If a person comes and breaks in your house and steals your stuff or kidnaps your kids just because you get on national television and you send out a plea for them to return your stuff, it's not coming back.
It's not yeah. coming back.
Now, okay, I want to bring up one more thing, and then we're going to ask for some closing comments because we're coming up on about 7 minutes before the end of the show. We talk about these officers. If you guys remember the case in New York, I believe it was last year, where a couple of cops were in a stairwell, and one cop's gun went off, and it accidentally went off, and it killed a brother. You guys remember that one?
Vaguely.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. If you recall, that cop has been fired, and he's been held accountable for that. But what I want to tell you is the interesting thing is that cop is Asian.
So
they made an example out of him.
Right.
So
yeah.
the white cops that killed 12-year-old Tamir Rice for playing in a park in an open carry state, playing with a toy gun. You know, the five cops that jumped on Eric Garner for selling cigarettes, which they should have just written him a summons, a ticket, and walked on.
And walked away.
Walked on.
But wait,
so,
his wife says he wasn't even selling cigarettes at the time.
And so we see this, and then when they want to make an example, they get an example of something that you could actually argue it was an accident.
Right, but don't forget
holding
him
accountable for that.
Don't forget the most recent where the, I don't recall his name, unfortunately, but in Florida, the caretaker for the boy who is autistic,
yeah.
and the guy is flat on his back
on
with his hands in the air, and he's still shot. And the guy says, "Why did you shoot me?" And the officer replied, "I don't know." But the prosecutor, I believe it was the prosecutor, came back and said, "Well, he intended to shoot the autistic."
Well, that was the union.
Yeah,
that was the union.
Yeah.
We are coming up on 5 minutes, and I want to get a last comment, a closing statement, or any sort of call to action from AJ, and then we'll go to Renee. AJ, you got anything, closing words for our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, while we've been on the call, I received an email, and it said that Derek Stevens made a $100 contribution to our film, and at walkingwhileblackthemovie.com people can contribute and be a part of this
right.
movement. And his words struck me. His words, he said, "Thanks for being my voice in this racial world." And that, Derek, if you're listening, that moved me, man, and I'm going to be working for you this week. And you know, I just want to say that we all have the ability to do something, whether it's creating a film like Errol and I and our wonderful team are doing, Pia Civiletti and Cliff Wright and Derek Bowden and Randy Nixon and others. But do something. Contribute to the efforts of someone who's doing something positive.
Absolutely.
You know, get out there and be active. I wrote an article on my blog at Wellness 101 Life this past week about the need for pastors and ministry leaders to do something, to physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually be active and be a leader. Because where are our leaders? Step up
and
do
along
something.
With that, I think what you're saying is very powerful. I also think we need to help them, because a lot of times we say, people keep telling us to do stuff, but I don't know what to do.
Yes.
So I think what you're saying is absolutely correct, but this has to be pinned. We have to put things on paper so that people, we can disseminate information. Just like it was on paper how to break a slave, we need to have it on paper how to build a black man in America, how to build black people back up and heal. We need to go with solutions. We need to be emailing solutions. We need to be talking about
solutions. All the time.
I wanted to say very quickly, when Kenny talked about how, what we can say to people to not get killed by the cops, there's really nothing. What we have to understand, like I said earlier, is that we have to be willing to die for this cause. The young lady King, her last name is King, who got beat up by the Austin cops last June 2015, mm-hmm. that you were talking about earlier, Colette. That
Down
young
Austin.
Lady, that cop, when he approached her car, he had an attitude. It was his whole body language showed it. And it was a battle against the ego. That young lady, when he told her to get in her car, she got in her car. Then he told her, put your feet in. She didn't put her feet in. So that gave him the right to say she was resisting, and that's when he pulled her out of the car and beat her up. Now, I want to say this. When we have this overwhelming number of black folks, black men in prison, they make 20 to 30 cents a day in prison. Once again, this is about post-slavery and why we have the prisons. The prison system was made so that they could, because they still needed the free labor. So now they're paying 20 and 30 cents a day for put the black men in prison. So it's still basically free labor. We have to begin to understand that. Also, I do want to say that people need to look up the war on drugs. Look it up. Research it. Understand it. Understand COIN, COIN, TEL, TEL, PRO, COIN, TEL, PRO. Please Google that. Mass incarceration, black codes, and the convict leasing system. We have to take our communities back. We cannot have the police in our community.
Exactly.
And we need to limit the time that we go into theirs.
And we need to stop calling them. And we're at about 2 minutes, and so we're going to close. And I want to say this. There was and I mentioned this on the show before, there was a black woman here who called on her adult child with some mental issues, and he came to the door and they shot him right away. So we need to stop calling the police, and we need to have the brothers in the community handle those situations. So we need to step up. All you brothers out there, we need to stand up. This is Change Matters. We thank you very much. We want to thank AJ Ali, and good luck to you and on your movie and your writing, things like that. And Renee, thank you for
thank
being
you
a contributor.
And once again, the young lady in our prayers that has bone cancer.
Yes.
Max's daughter. Yes. Yeah. Prayers for Max's daughter. We really appreciate this. Again, much thanks to Scotty Reed and Black Talk Radio Network. We are going to be doing another town hall probably next month, so we want everyone to join in on that. Again, I'm Kenny Hendricks.
And I am Colette Williams, and we thank you again for being with us. This is Change Matters Solutions, and we are coming to solutions. And again, as Kenny said, we thank you very much for being with us. Mr. AJ Ali, it's been a pleasure for you to be on our show. Renee Cole,
thank
it's
you
been
so much.
A pleasure for you to be here. We will continue this dialogue. We have more shows coming up next week. We will also be live on Black Talk Radio Network. Thank you for being with us. This is Colette Williams signing off. And thank you. Take care.
Bye, all.